Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Joe to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. We will get to your calls on the game, on AJ, right after we hear from the coach. Coach's press conference sponsored by PDQ Signature Systems. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you need a PDQ POS system. With PDQ POS, you'll sell more, earn more, and work less. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Visit PDQPOS.com. Here is Coach Sirianni.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for taking the time for us today. We're going to start with Martin Frank and then go to John McMullen.
Hey, Nick. If I could start off by asking about the trade deadline being like 8 days away and everything. The fact that you guys don't have a game to prepare for this week, how much does that enable you to kind of be more involved with Howie as far as trade talks, and how beneficial is it for you not to have to worry about a game and can focus on the trade deadline?
Yeah, regardless of the scenario that, you know, whether we have a game, whether we have a short week with the deadline coming up, constant communication with Howie about everything. You know, that's, you know, we find time to do the things that are necessary to help the team win, help the team get better, whatever it may be. Obviously, this week's very important for us as far as our self-scout and identifying some different things. And so, you know, always going to be a busy week. But I wouldn't say, you know, because we don't have a game this upcoming week, it's any different, because you just find the time to do the things necessary to help get better and help the team win.
Thanks.
We'll go to John McMullen and then Ed Kratz.
Hi, Nick. N'Kobe Dean, I wanted to ask you yesterday, but getting him back and all he's went through, just the leadership behind the scenes, what's it been like for the team to get him back and contributing?
Yeah, always great to have him on the field. Guys love playing with and for N'Kobe. So love that group, that linebacker group that we have. It's great to have him back on the field contributing. Obviously, he's been very important for us for the past, you know, 4 years. And, you know, again, works his butt off, always constantly preparing, doing all the necessary things that getting better requires, and just love having him back ready to go.
We'll go to Ed Kratz and then Jeff McClain.
Hi, Nick. just ask you about what your messaging is to, you know, your coaching staff and the players heading into, I guess, this week off and into the bye week.
Yeah, I think it's so important that we are completely locked in and focused on finding ways to get better, identifying issues, identifying strengths. And this is a really important week. You know, we've benefited from this week in the past, whether that be going into the playoffs or whether it's in the regular season. And so it's that same motivation and same hunger to do everything that we can do to help improve the football team. You know, for players, it's about, you know, being away and resting their bodies and taking care of their bodies, you know, doing some extra stuff themselves. As far as their mental preparation for the rest of the season, but really, I always think that this bye week sets you up for, you know, and for some things that for the rest of the season. So it's really an important week.
We'll go to McLean here, and then Dave Z.
What's up, McLean?
McLean again. What's up, Sirianni?
Jonathan.
Hey, Nick. The pin and pull blocks were key this week. For you guys on springing Saquon on tank, what's the process of how they're put into the game plan and then carried on through the coaching staff and then down to the players and then executing? I imagine it starts with Stout seeing something. How much can you provide in terms of how that unfolds over the course of a week?
Yeah, different scheme. You always look at the defense that you're playing. Their players, obviously, the first thing that you look at. Then their techniques. Right, every defense has different techniques of how they play different things. I think that's one I want to, you know, obviously be careful how much I'm saying too, as for competitive reasons. But you know, you always look at the techniques of how they're playing, the different ways they're stopping the run, and that's how you kind of, that's your starting point of, you know, what to put in and why to put it in, right? You know, obviously we have the offensive line and to be able to do a lot of different schemes. But you also want to have your bread and butters, the things that you can rest your hat on in critical moments and, you know, when it's crunch time. But a lot of that is based off of your film study of what you're looking at. Now, the better you are on offense and the more they're worried about the run game, the more you might not see the things that you saw on film all week. But it always starts with their players, their techniques of how they play different things, how they line up formationally. Obviously, everything's always, you know, first and foremost, what you're always thinking about your players and what they can accomplish. But we do feel like our guys are versatile, able to accomplish a lot of different things. So I think that's where the starting point is. That's probably most I'm going to give you right there just for competitive reasons. But yeah.
We'll go to Dave and then Jeff Nyberg.
Nick, through this point in the season, how much growth have you seen from Kevin Petullo in his new job, and how much do you account for that going into a season, knowing that you have an OC who's been with you but hasn't been in that particular role?
I think he's done a good job of continuing to get better, just like our players. I think that's the, regardless of, you know, every team's a new team, so there's a growth period in every, you know, whether it's a first time play caller or not, there's a growth period within each year for, you know, the players, for the coaches, everything. And so that's what the first weeks of the season are for, is to find ways to win, find ways to get better, and really continue, you know, be in that continual growth mindset all the way through. So you're playing your best football in you know, November, December, January, hopefully.
We'll go to Jeff Nyberg and then Bob Brookover.
Hey, Nick, these bye weeks are obviously, you know, time to take stock and self-evaluate. You just had one of these 2 weeks ago with the mini bye. How differently do you feel about the state of the union right now, I guess, for lack of a better term, now compared to 2 weeks ago? And what's sort of your general overall take on where you guys are right now?
Yeah, you know, obviously super important, a Thursday night game, you know, coming off of that. You can't do everything that you want to do in a normal bye week, you know, just because there's less time, obviously. And so, obviously, this week's always important. I guess, you know, again, we don't live week to week with results. Obviously, we're paid to win football games and find ways to get better, but we don't live within a week to week. You know, you work like crazy to get better. You work like crazy to win each football game. But then win, lose, or draw, you're on to the next and you're doing the same thing over again. So, you know, I think respect your question as far as, you know, obviously after the Thursday night game, we had lost two in a row. Now we've won two in a row. We really don't think that way. We just think about how we're going to get better and find ways to win. And so that's where we are right now. It's no different. Our state, we don't have to be like everybody else, right? We actually thrive and enjoy that we don't have to live like the outside world with you know, how each and every game goes. We just put our head down, look for ways to get better, try to find ways to win. And so that's where we are right now. And now we're into the bye week, and it's a great opportunity for growth here.
We'll go to Bob Brookover and then EJ Smith.
Hey, Nick, you guys obviously had a lot of success coming out of the bye last year. It looked like it was early, kind of early when you look at the schedule. This year, is week 9 the perfect bye week? And what have you learned about how to spend your time in the bye week since you've been in this job?
Yeah, I don't think you can ever really say, hey, this is the perfect time for a bye, right? Last year, in 2024, week 4 was our perfect time for the bye, you know, and our mindset will be, hey, this year, this is our perfect time for a bye. And when we play a Friday night game coming or Friday afternoon game coming up, that'll be a perfect time for a Friday night game. You handle every situation and control the things you can control. You can't control those other things. You know, the bye week process, we just continue to evolve it, but I think that to say, hey, here's what I've learned in my past 4 years here, you know, that really, it really goes back. What have I learned in my time in the NFL on these bye weeks? And that's why you're just constantly in this growth mindset of everything, of how you can get better at your process. So I think that's been an evolving thing. Obviously, you know, these last 4-5 years I've been the head coach, so obviously there's more to it than when I was, you know, just the offensive coordinator. But I think that the process of our bye week has evolved throughout the years from the past 10 years of my coaching career, you know. And so, but really, it's really, really about, I think human nature could be, hey, we don't have a game this week, have a tendency to be able to relax. And that's just not the way we think. And that's just not the way we're about to go about our business this week. We'll be about finding ways to get better, identifying issues that we know we have, identifying strengths that we know we have, and tendencies, and looking for ways to improve on those things.
We'll go to EJ and then finish with Zach Berman.
Hey, Nick. On the missed field goal at the midway through the first quarter, it seemed like there was some confusion and some frustration afterward. I'm curious, what happened on that play? What was the source of the confusion? And then what was the explanation from the officials that you got on the sideline there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously there's a lot of things that happen within a game. I'm glad you guys don't ask me every week, hey, why'd you get upset with the official here? Or why were you happy with him here? Because that'd be the whole press conference. So I think that we probably just keep that between myself and the officials. You know, again, I just think that's the right way of doing business in the NFL. They got a hard job. We got a hard job. It's never about, you know, there's always many opportunities to win and lose football games. It's never about that. But there was, you know, obviously there was something that we were communicating about. You know, they made the call the best way that they thought they could. I respect that. And we move on and we play the next play.
We'll finish with Zach here.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick. I saw on the team video that you gave out a cowbell after the game. What's the story behind that, and how long has that been going on?
Yeah, that was the first time I gave out a cowbell, so it hasn't been going on in a long time. But I don't know. You guys, if the players want you, I always want to keep my conversations with the guys in house. That was something we talked about in a team meeting. If they want to share that with you, by all means, they can.
If I can then follow up, then yeah. Generally on Saquon's performance, you didn't necessarily get asked that about the game. After the game, what stood out about the way Saquon ran, and is that a game you saw coming this season?
Yeah, of course. Saquon. I thought that was just a matter of time. We've been close, with our run game, and it popped yesterday, and so we want to build on that and continue on that. But I think, that was just a matter of time because, we have the players up front. Saquon looks great, and he was able to find some space yesterday to get some of those explosive runs that we were used to seeing from him.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate your time as always.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Shutter Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back. What a brilliant performance from one Nick Sirianni.
Elite, some would say.
This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. Never realized what a Zach Berman I don't think of as having hoagie mouth and a local accent, but he has a little bit there. Jack and I noticed it.
I need Elliot to work on his hoagie mouth.
Yeah, he gave a little, hey, Nick, the cowbell thing. How long has that been going on?
Love a good going on.
Going on. Yeah.
Just combine them two.
Yeah. How long has the cowbell thing been going on over there? All right.
That was a little town. That was like a North Jersey.
Yeah. I got a lot in there. You do too much of it, it gets worse. 215-592-9494. Ike in Southwest Philly. You're on WIP. What's up, Ike?
What's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
What's up?
What up, Ike?
Hey, ain't nothing. Yo, so here's the thing. As far as the AJ thing, I'll just say this. I know it's been said a lot, like why he don't just come out and say he want to be able. He just did that like 2 weeks ago, two or 3 weeks ago when he made his apology. He said Philly was home. He wanted to stay here. So if people going to believe it or not believe it, I don't think coming out saying it now is different than when he said it two or three weeks ago.
That's fair. Do you believe it?
Did he not tweet something after that that may have given a different message?
No. Yeah, the thing was, using me, not using me, didn't make me think he didn't want to be here. Because there's the other thing.
Well, it may not have made you think that, but it made a lot of other people think that.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm just telling you my opinion. I ain't saying okay. You can't have your own opinion. That's fine. Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah. See, the thing I always look at is we all about in our 40s and 50s, right?
31.
That must be Jack. Yeah. So yeah.
Don't listen to him. Nobody cares.
These young boys, and he ain't young boy, but younger people, they different than us. I would not handle stuff the way he handled it, but I'm saying that's the way people handle it. And everybody ain't the same. So I get it. The criticism on certain things is fair. But I'm telling you, I don't understand why everybody thinks because they got this little turmoil. I don't see him getting traded because as much as stuff, this is nothing like T.O. T.O. was going at it with the Eagles. I ain't saying that y'all said it. I'm just making a comparison.
Yeah.
T.O. got suspended.
Here's what I would say, though. If you're them and – look, we have no idea, and I agree with what you said. T.O. made it far more uncomfortable for the Eagles than A.J. Brown has done it here. But if you're the Eagles and you think it might go there, I think what you want to do, the argument for it would be, if you let it get to that point, then you're going to get a worse trade back because everybody's going to know that you're in a bad spot. So,
but then again, you want to trade them and it might not go there? I'm not taking that choice.
Chance, well, that's what we would say.
I'm saying when I'm watching the games, I see him share his players on, because I've seen when he throw touchdowns and stuff like that, he have his hand up, and other than Hurts, he be celebrating with his teammates and stuff like that. So I don't think it's nowhere near the same thing. So that's just my opinion. I just don't see it as the same. I think they need to get this figured out. And if it's that broken, he would not have been talking to him and Saquon in that little parking lot pimping little meeting they had or whatever a couple weeks ago.
I think this is the thing. I think you hit on that there. It's either got to stop by him stopping it or them trading him, because I think if this continues to happen all year long, I just...
Like, we're not going to stop talking about it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's going to continue to be talked about.
Of course you're not. You got to. That's right. Your job. You got to do it. But the other thing, last thing I'll say, everybody pick and choose the information, because Schefter was on Get Up this morning. I know you watch it all the time. But Schefter was on Get Up this morning talking about the Eagles ain't trading him.
Yeah.
Like, he finally got to the point, but people will sit there and say, oh, if they get blown away. Well, you're a fool if somebody give you a Herschel Walker deal and you don't contemplate it. You know what I'm saying? So the point is, man, I think we are a little bit on the get rid of them, or trading is a possibility. I don't think it's as much. I think the percentage is low. Not everybody is thinking that it's high, but I'm just saying I think a little too many people thinking that you got to trade him. I'm not doing that. So, all right, y'all be easy, man. Great show.
All right.
I don't think people want to trade AJ. Honestly, I think the Eagles fan base is afraid that AJ doesn't want to be here.
Nobody
feels that the Eagles are looking to trade AJ or any of that. I think the fans that are concerned, as I would be, is whether or not how happy is he with being an Eagle and being in the current situation. Right? Like that. That's really what it boils down to. It's more about, is AJ happy being an Eagle? If AJ is happy being an Eagle, I think everybody moves on. There's no more cryptic tweets. Like, how about putting out tweets that congratulate your teammates or the success of your team? And
even yesterday.
Yeah, onward and upward. Like things that are positive that support what you guys are doing. That's what a good teammate.
Well, there's no balance.
Yeah.
And also, I think everybody would also agree the chances of them trading him in season are probably low. Mm-hmm. But here's the comparison I would make. Yeah, Schefter said, unless they get a blockbuster offer, they're not doing it. But imagine if the same sentence was written about Jalen. If the same sentence was written about Jalen, everybody would be, there's no chance. They're not listening. But the paragraph in Schefter's article said they will listen to offers.
Right.
That's not being written about anybody else on the Eagles, any other star-level player on the Eagles, that they're listening to offers. Yeah. And Jeffrey Lurie had a chance to shut it down publicly. Even AJ has a chance to shut it down. Nobody's shutting it down. So I think they wouldn't listen, you know?
This whole thing wouldn't even be a discussion.
If it wasn't for AJ, yeah.
Yeah!
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it wouldn't even be a discussion. If the Eagles were going about their business, working through their early season struggles, trying to get better, and everybody was on the same page, and everybody is in agreement and supporting one another, this would not be a discussion.
I agree with you.
Like, we've seen other teams go through rough patches, and all of a sudden, one of their best players isn't necessarily being discussed in trade talks and whether or not he's happy there. This is a question because it's been put out there from a questionable standpoint as to whether or not he's happy being an Eagle right now.
Well, look around the league. The Chiefs had a rough stretch. I don't remember seeing any of it. The Bills lost two in a row. I don't remember seeing any of their stars or any of their high-level players talking any of these rumors. Every good team in the NFL at this point, aside from the Packers, has lost a couple of games, and there's been an opportunity for that to happen, and it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
And it has happened here.
Yeah.
So.
I agree. Like, honestly, listen, AJ could put all of this to bed.
Yeah. And he's chosen not to.
Yeah, with his own actions. Like, he can put all of this to bed, and we'll move on just talking about the team.
Speaking of the team, because the question – so I want to ask you about N'Kobe Dean and the defense overall.
Yeah.
Question during the press conference, how is it for the team with N'Kobe being back? I don't know. What's Nick going to say? Horrible. We can't stand it. Anyway, but he has taken snaps from Jahad Campbell the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So it was a good defensive effort from the Eagles yesterday. You know, they got to the quarterback a bunch, which they haven't done at all this year. They played tough. But the idea of N'Kobe being on the field more, what do you think of that, taking away snaps from Jahad Campbell at this point?
Yeah, I just think N'Kobe's in his natural position, which puts Zach Bond in his natural position and leaves Jahad Campbell in a unnatural position, which is trying to be an outside edge setter or an edge rusher, which I don't think is his natural position. I watched him plenty yesterday when he was in there. Matter of fact, I watched him also a lot on the sideline, because he wasn't out there early on downs as an edge defender, whether it be versus the run or versus the pass, because he wouldn't be one of the best suited to go out there and play that position, having is it Ojulari? Who was out there? Zero.
Uche.
Uche. Between the two, I still haven't figured out which one is which. But, yeah, he's out there. You got Jalen Hunt out there. He's playing well. And those are the guys who seemingly got a chance to rush the passer. I don't recall at all. I could be wrong, but I don't recall at all Jahad Campbell getting a chance to actually rush the passer. Even when he was an edge defender, he was more or less just an edge defender. He wasn't responsible to rush the quarterback.
An edge setter isn't the position I would put him in if he was on that position.
Yeah.
Like, if he at his best at that position, I think it would be go get the quarterback.
Yes.
Right? And we didn't see any of that yesterday. So naturally, correct me if I'm wrong, naturally, Jahad Campbell is more like Bond.
Zach Bond, yes.
Right?
Yep.
So that's interesting moving forward. Because you just committed a bunch of money to Zach Bond, and you have the ability to play both of them. But if you're going to get the most out of Jahad Campbell, I don't know. It's weird looking forward. And N'Kobe Dean, this is the last year of his deal, and who knows if he'll be back. But when you're looking at the linebacker, you know, next couple of years for the Eagles.
Well, I would tell you this. You know, N'Kobe Dean has a chance to stake claim to coming back and playing that role. Right now, Jeremiah is the natural fill-in behind N'Kobe Dean at that position.
Sure.
You know, when you look at Jahad Campbell and Zach Bond, they're more athletic, more versatile. You can do different things with them. Jeremiah and N'Kobe Dean, starting with him, are strictly hash mark, tackle-to-tackle type of linebackers that'll play downhill. The other guys are better athletes and more versatile. So moving forward, unless they feel comfortable with Jeremiah being that guy in the future, it may be N'Kobe Dean.
Unless he plays himself into a contract that they can't afford.
Right.
Yeah, after this year,
I know. I know exactly what you're saying.
The thing about N'Kobe Dean is, dude, you can just tell when he's out there. The last couple of games,
much better run defense with him out there.
They everything seems more stable when he's out there. He hits hard. He does what he's supposed to do. That was and Jahad Campbell is going to be a really good player, but such a natural fit with N'Kobe and Zach Bond out there. The other thing it allows him to do with Zach is there were a couple times yesterday where they put him on the edge and let him rush the quarterback, which he does really, really well, which they did a lot last year.
Yep.
But having N'Kobe in there in that position that he plays, I think allows them to do that with Zach Bond more.
Yeah, I think it puts those guys in their more natural position, which I think makes it a better front seven. And we've seen that the last 2 weeks versus the run, where it seems like we're more sturdy and solid up the middle of our defense. With Jalen Carter out there, Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean behind him, that Georgia Bulldog sort of triangle right there, it fits naturally.
Yeah.
It fits naturally. So I don't know if Coach Fangio is looking to deviate from that. N'Kobe's not going anywhere. He's going to be your middle linebacker, and obviously Zach Bond is going to be the weak linebacker there, the weak side linebacker, and Jahad is going to fill in different sub packages for now. Like, that's what it seems like. That's what it looked like yesterday.
Yeah. Well, and Vic Fangio wants to win a Super Bowl, wants to have the best defense he can. And let's be honest, it took if they don't need Jahad Campbell to be an every down player this year to win a Super Bowl, then he's under contract. He's a draft pick.
Not going anywhere.
He's not going anywhere. Yeah. It took Nolan Smith 3 years to make a difference, you know. Yep. So 215-592-9494. Warren in Gwynedd Valley, you're on WIP. What's up, Warren?
Hey guys, let me get my phone out of my pocket. Hold on.
That's a good idea.
Better?
Yeah.
I'm up in a bucket lift about 50 feet off the ground. Sorry about that.
Wait, where are you?
50 feet off the ground in a bucket lift.
Oh. In a bucket lift? Really? Yeah. Are you working or you just do that for fun?
Both.
Okay, working. All right, fair enough. Be careful.
I have a question that doesn't seem to have come up. And where does A.J. Brown think the grass is greener on some other side? Like, what team does he, do you think, envision himself going to, getting the ball a lot and being a superstar?
New England.
So one team he's banking on to go to.
Well, I would think about it. Let's think about it more narrowly, right? Let's think about it, a relationship, because that's the way I think it's a good context. Let's say AJ, just for argument's sake, let's say he cannot stand Jalen. He doesn't like being here.
Right.
And let's compare that to a relationship with a couple, right? Sometimes right. when that relationship ends, it's not about go find somebody better. It's about I don't want to be around you anymore. And I'm like,
that's
like
often what it's
yeah,
about. Yeah.
Sometimes it's about yeah. it might take about. Me a year or two to find another regular relationship. But you know what? I can't stand waking up next and look at you anymore. I'm not talking about Val. I love you. We'll stay married forever. I don't ever think that. Never thought that. But in previous relationships, so what I'm saying is, I don't think when AJ is frustrated and AJ doesn't want to be here, I don't think it's about he may have preferred places he'd rather go and situations he'd rather be in, but what the sense that I get is, and if I were to project a little bit, I would say it's about not being in this situation, and there's something with him that it just seems like. Whatever it is, it's not about being in a better position. It's about not being in this one. And sometimes people make decisions that way.
That's really crazy, though, because he's not, I don't think, thinking this through rationally the way he just is very spontaneous. So
yeah.
it would behoove, you know, his friends, his teammates, to say, where do you think you're going that you're going to be successful if it's not with us? Because to me, he could put himself and another team in jeopardy by arriving somewhere, and then the same thing happens, and then he's going to have to text his way out of some other. And in the meantime, his brand is going down, 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 and he's tarnishing himself and his reputation every day that he's disgruntled.
Yeah, and listen, and I this is, you know, Spike gave a great example or analogy of sort of that sort of being in a relationship and your outlook on that relationship. I'll add this to that because there's a flip side to that in a marriage, right? And this is, I'm 20 plus years in a marriage. I don't think I'm breaking news when I say there was a time or two where one of us wanted a divorce at some point.
Right.
20 plus years and 30 years of being together. Yeah, at some point in time, one of us wanted to be or thought they'd had enough of the relationship. And then cooler heads prevail and you're actually able to take the emotion out of it and think about things that you set forward as goals in your life and things you wanted to achieve as a husband or a wife and raising a family and doing those sorts of things that now you're willing to throw that all away because in this moment you're unhappy with whatever the current circumstance is. But if you let cooler heads prevail, you'll realize those goals and things that you all set forward prior to getting married are still attainable.
Sure.
And they mean so much to you, you've just lost track of how much they mean to you because
I totally
of other
agree.
Other
I
things.
Totally agree.
So I say that to say, I say that to say, real quick, and I'm gonna wrap it up. I say that to say, AJ may feel that in this moment.
Sure.
He can also have an epiphany that, you know what, this it's not as bad as I think it is, and it can get better, and I need to make the best out of this. And then
like
you
have he did
a change
last
of heart. Yeah, and then you have a change of heart of what you want to do. And that's really what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm hoping for right there.
I'm hoping for also, and I just hope AJ is listening to all the fans and getting the other side that while he's disgruntled, he's not seeing the forest through the trees and how great the Eagles could be, long term, and that whatever he thinks is on the other side is actually going to be worse than where he is now.
Well, and I'll tell you this.
Thank you for the call, Warren.
Say this, Warren. Being an athlete, quote unquote, in every city isn't equal. Being that guy here hits differently.
Yes, than Jacksonville.
It hits differently.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so.
Or some place like Cincinnati.
Yeah, you. Yes.
That's right.
You want to give up. You want to give up legendary status and the adulation and love.
Hero.
And loyalty.
Yeah.
Heroism that comes with playing in Philadelphia. Why would you want to give that up? Why would you want to give that up? Believe me, there are plenty of athletes that thought, you know what? They're going to miss me when I'm gone. And guess what happens? You miss being here when you're gone.
Right, they get replaced.
Yeah, and you want to try to gravitate back to it.
Yeah.
Because now you realize what could have been. It's one thing I've never regretted. It's one thing I've never regretted. I'm not who I am and where I'm at without being in this city.
Right.
It's different being here.
Yep, and there's only a few places like
this. Exactly.
There's only a few places
like this. This is one of the few. That's not me pandering. That's just me being honest about the situation and understanding being great here is different than being great somewhere else.
It's one of the things, like, when I was talking, before Richie came back to work here, and he lived in, and when I was talking to him about coming back here, he said, well, nobody remembers me there. I only played 2 years. I said, dude.
Yeah, they do.
You're an Eagle for 2 years on a Super Bowl team. I promise you, they remember. Yep. That's what it's like here. It's not like that everywhere, you know. 215-592-9494. Oh, you know who might be a good person to ask about the AJ situation? Donovan McNabb.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk to him next?
What, again, some more I told you so's in the beginning?
Well, but then I'm going to hit him with the I told you so about Dak.
That's right.
Yeah.
Dak is ass.
Yep, Dak is ass. 215-592-9494. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Big parties, big events, always better at Chickies and Pete's. Find your local one at chickiesandpete's.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Shutter Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.